You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
I asked the Lord, you know, what he wanted to do. He said basically to me, there's three things I want you to tell the people of Cornerstone as they go into 2019. Three things I want to emphasize. And so he gave them to me, and so I've been telling you them. And they're big. Number one, he said, I want them to know my voice. They have to follow me. They have to know my voice. Everybody say, I am his sheep. I know his voice. So what Jim was talking about, we have to know the voice of God. Not in just finances, but for your safety, for your protection. You need to know where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be. You know, you need to know who you're supposed to connect with and who you're not supposed to connect with. Everybody say, I know his voice. Know. See, the Bible didn't tell you to learn his voice. The Bible told you you know his voice. Amen. You have to be I lost some of you on that one. No, you're not spending your life learning his voice. You already know it. Are you his sheep? Yes. Come on, I'm having fun today. Everybody say, bah. You are his sheep. That's cool, right? I am. When did you begin to be his sheep? When you were born again? How many of you are sons and daughters of God? Amen. Then you're led by the Spirit of God. Are you of the truth? Then you hear his voice. Are you part of the church? Yeah. Then you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says to you. So he said, going into 2019, tell them they need to know my voice. They need to follow my voice. They need to obey my voice. Number two, he told me to tell you, and I told you last week, he just wants you to walk with him. Walk with him. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. Noah walked with God. He was upright in his generation. And then I began to tell you what I've been praying out, especially about the younger generation. You know, they call most of them millennials. I find out millennials don't like to be called millennials. And but, you know, they name them X, Y, Z. I don't understand. So what does that make me? A, double A? I don't know what I am. And if you're into all that, that's fine. So we've been praying for them especially. Pastor Rhonda and I have been praying for that generation, especially the 18 to 30-year-olds. And so when I pray for them, the Lord calls them something. How many know the Lord calls those things that be not as though they are? Yes. Right? And so when I pray for them, he calls them the generation of the upright. The generation of the upright. The 18 to 30-year-olds especially, he calls them the generation of the upright. The world is concerned, the church world even, is concerned we're going to lose them. But when God looks at them, he calls them the generation of the upright. And the Bible says Noah was upright in his generation. God deals with generation, and aren't you glad that you are born again and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Come on, are you born again? Say, I'm righteous. So what does that make you? It makes you in right standing, but it also opens so many other avenues to you. And that righteousness causes you to be able to walk with God. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they do what? Agree. So God's not changing, but we all are. Amen? If you're going to walk with him, you and I are the ones that are going to change. How are we changed? Well, we were created in his likeness and his image, and he's given us everything he wants for us to walk with him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he gave us all the thoughts and the ways of his that he needed, and he wrote them down. And so we need to begin to do them so that we can walk with him. And then he told me one time, and I'll remind you again, then we're going to move on. He said to me, walking with me is a transportation device. Now, I know most of you don't watch movies in here, but I do like to watch one every once in a while. And one of my favorites is Star Trek. I can watch a Wars, but I like a Trek. Hallelujah. And so the old ones, and even the remake of the old ones, everybody say, beam me up, Scotty. Just for fun, God's not going to get mad. He's not going to leave. So what is that? You're one place, and immediately you're somewhere else. Okay, I have to concentrate because I got a movie going. But you're one place, and then immediately you're somewhere else. God told me if you'll walk with me, I'll be able to transport you immediately to somewhere else. Noah built an ark, and it transported him from one place in humanity to another. Enoch was just walking with God, and he was no more. What we need to be walking with God. And then number three, he told me to talk to you about making sure that in this season you exercise your authority. So number one, I'm going to hear his voice and I'm going to obey it. Number two, I'm going to walk with him. Number three, I'm going to know my authority, but more than that, I'm going to exercise it. I'm going to exercise. A lot of people don't understand authority, and so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I just believe most of you have understand it, but I want to start here, and I want to say this, and then we're going to move on. A lot of times people in the church only understand praying to God and asking him, and that is obviously very important. The Lord said himself, you have not because you ask not. So there is that form of prayer, and we have the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. This is the confidence that I have in him. If I ask anything according to his will, know that he hears me. If I know he hears me, I know that I have them. So there's that praying. But then there's also this part of our walk with God and receiving from God and dealing with things on the earth. We must take our delegated authority and exercise it. And so the Bible has a lot to say about this. And in the hour we're coming into, it seemed to me very important, these three things. There's always more things. And I'm not saying these are the three keys to 2019. These are the three things the Lord told me to emphasize to you as we go into 2019. And we finish up our year of double jubilee. But he said what? He said jubilee would be a mark on this church until the return of the Lord. Amen. Everybody say, I'm getting my stuff back. I'm getting my family back. I'm getting my children back. Amen. I'm getting my career back. I'm getting my marriage back. Whatever that is for you, God is a restorer, and he's a restorer of even years that people have stolen from your life. I'm getting my years back. Amen. And so anyway, authority is something very important, but a lot of people don't exercise it because they believe everything is up to God because he's sovereign. Yes, he is sovereign. And yes, he is sovereign, meaning that he, as he said something, he can sovereignly move in and do it. He can make the sun stand still, right? He did with Joshua. I mean, he can cause three armies to turn on one another. Right? He can cause you to be able to walk on water. That'd be cool. Hallelujah. I mean, he can multiply loaves and fishes. He can turn water to wine. He can grow body parts. He is sovereign in the fact that he can do things according to his word. But sovereignty does not mean that he is not interested in your life and whatever happens is meant to be. People misinterpret sovereignty as, well, whatever happens was just the will of God. In other words, if somebody gets in an accident, just as must have been the will of God. Someone who comes in silver at the Olympics, well, it just must have been the plan of God. No, the other person was faster than you. She did a double jerky-herky, and you only did a single herky-jerky. Whatever. She landed a triple axel, you can only do one. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Well, I just believe it's the plan of God. Well, no, the will of God is not always done on the earth. And I know that scares people, but let me finish. How many of you know it's the will of God for everybody to be born again? How do we know that? Scripture tells us. It is not his will that any should perish. But do people perish? Why? Because they didn't choose correctly. And then on the other hand, too, that if we don't have all the information, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. And I think this, what I'm about to talk to you about, is an area that a lot of the church perishes in, and because, is because they don't understand what the Lord has done for us. So let's look at Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, listen, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus is thinking, what? But then he goes on to say, why? For I am a man under authority. Everybody say, under authority. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it, and he marveled. This man said what? First of all, I've pointed this out to you many times, but the man didn't say, I'm a man of authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. He didn't say, I'm someone who has people under me. He said, I'm under somebody. And then he also then said, I basically was saying, I have people under me. So what he's telling Jesus is, I can't see him, but I recognize you are under somebody. Somebody has given you some authority, and I realize that because I recognize it, because you say this and it happens. You say to a devil, come out, and he comes out. You say to a sickness, go, and it goes. In other words, I've done that, and that person, I'm under somebody. I've been given delegated authority. I've been given authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. He's not doing it because of me. He's doing it because I'm under somebody. And so he said, I recognize that. And so that's what you and I, if the first thing you and I have got to recognize is that we're under somebody. And we're under God himself because we're seated at the, I'm getting ahead of myself, we're seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Because we're born again, we're sons and daughters. He gave us power to be sons of God, but in that he also gave us power and authority. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Now you go. So this man recognized that Jesus is a man under authority. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, verse 10, verily I say to you, I haven't found such great faith in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. And but let's look at verse 13, just for time. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you believe, so it be done unto thee. And the servant was healed the same hour. So I want you to see he's under authority. So how do you and I get under authority? Well, James 4 and 7 says this. Well, it says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God, and do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee. So in order, how many of you know, when it comes to resisting the devil, we're not just talking about resisting an entity. We're talking about resisting what that enemy does. What does the devil do? Well, that's where you and I've got to know. Because how many of you know, a lot of times, maybe many of you, even like me, before I began to study the Word of God and understand the Word of God and understand God himself, I didn't know what came from God or what God allowed. Versus, well, you know, growing up, I didn't even know there really that the devil, what that was, who he was, what he did. I just always believed that if God wanted to do something good for me, he'd do it. But it's interesting that nothing good really, really happened to me. And so then you think God doesn't like you. But what you didn't understand is there's an enemy trying to keep the good things of God away from you. And so you've got to know what God does and what the devil does. So it's Cornerstone Word of Life Church, and so John 10:10 is appropriate at all times, where it says what? The thief does something, and the Lord has done something. The thief, the devil, does what? So you all know that. And Jesus has come what? You have life. So the devil's stealing, killing, and destroying, and Jesus is bringing life. And it's so simple, a four-year-old could figure it out. And we tell them about it. Now, you as an adult, don't give them none of your religion. Well, sometimes I just believe the Lord does things we don't understand. Who told you that? Is that in First Imaginations? I'm doing things in your life you can't figure out. No. I'm going to wrap my blessing in a big old sickness. Second Imaginations. No, it's not in there. Let's stick with the New Testament. Let's stick with the epistles. Let's stick with what's real, what's true. So when you know what's from God and what's from the devil, then what do? You receive everything, every good and perfect gift. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. So we receive those. And so then what do? We then have to resist. Everybody say resist. So anything that's not of God, you should be doing what? Not accepting till it gets really bad. You resist. Everybody say resist. But the first thing you got to do is submit. In other words, that's what that man, that centurion was saying. I am submitted to somebody. Jesus, I see you're submitted also. Because you're submitted, you can say. And when you say, things obey. Because I'm submitted to someone over me. When I say to this one, go, he goes. When I say to this one, come, he comes. Submission. Woo, that's a fun word. Do you like that word? You should love that word. Even though most people don't understand that word or like that word, the truth of the matter is it's a big Bible word that really creates power in your life if you understand it. Now, how many of you know I'm married? And I understand this. And so the Bible talks about, now every good preaching man loves Ephesians 5:23, where it says, husbands, make your wives submit unto you. No, that's not even what it says. Or every good pastor likes, everybody in the room ought to be submitted to me. But you see, that submission is not that at all. When you teach on submission and authority, you have to be very careful how you teach it. Because submission, number one, is a choice. You can't make any, a husband should never attempt and cannot make a wife submit. And anytime that happens, that's way out of order and abusive and wrong, and that ain't gonna work. Or I heard some people say, that dog don't hunt. Number two, any pastor that ever throws that word out to you when you're trying to obey God or do something or whatever, trying to use it to manipulate you. In other words, you sense in your heart it's time to go, it's time to do something else, and a pastor would say to you, yeah, but you're not submitting to me. Anytime someone throws those things on top of, you need to be very careful, and I'd pack any suitcase you got and run. That's abusive. So, oh, pastor, be careful. I'm being very careful. Because submission is always a choice of the person doing it. There's nothing in the Bible. The Lord himself, even though it's in your best interest, does not make you submit. If he did, he'd stick his head out of heaven and everyone would get born again today. Oh yeah, he could. Right over California, where they need it the most. He could stick his, I'm sorry, all the Californians. He could stick his head out of heaven if he chose. And there would be not one person that would ever in this planet say that God is not real. But that's not how he chose to do it. He wants you willingly to serve him and willingly to submit to him. The verse above that in Ephesians says, submit to one another. And then really, I love the Amplified, and this is the way Pastor Rhonda teaches, the way we teach it. Then it says, wives, as a favor to the Lord. In other words, what he's asking you to do is submit yourself so he can bless you. Amen. Submit yourself so he can work with you. Submit yourself so he can give you power and authority. Yes. Be like the centurion. Be like Jesus himself who is submitted. And that's why it says, submit yourself therefore unto God. It doesn't say, make sure someone under you submits to you. Although it's in their best interest. And you can teach it, but you can't make them. You can't make them. I mean, people ask, you know, because we're both Bible teachers and stuff, you know, we had this one guy especially, he thought if he would come to our house, you know, and just live with us, he would learn many things. And because, you know, Pastor Rhonda and I, you know, we talk with angels and Jesus comes and sits and eats with us and we discuss doctrine all day long, every day. That's not how it happens. But you know, he just thought, you know, and so he was dealing with a marriage issue. And, you know, we were talking to him about it. But, you know, for fun sometimes, I will say to my wife, woman, And I do address her as woman. Say, how do you get away with that? Well, I'll show you. Woman, submit. But she always has an answer for me. She'll say, husband, love me. And so it's a really fun, good way to remind each other, because we want to help one another. It's important that we understand what it is. And I don't have too much more time because I've got 3 pages of notes, basically, and we're just still on the introduction. You have to choose to submit. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Don't try to resist the devil without it. You won't be successful. You can scream the name of Jesus. You can shout loud in tongues. You can dance a war dance. But if you're not submitted to God in every area of your life, submitted to his word, submitted to the elders over you, the Bible teaches that, submitted, just in different areas. And I know people don't like to hear that, but submission is not a dirty word, it's a powerful word. And when you submit unto God, then and only then should you attempt to resist the devil. When I speak to the enemy, sickness, disease, anything, one of the things for me, the first thing I look in my life, if things aren't popping like popcorn the last 30 seconds in a microwave, you know what I mean by the last, aren't the last 30 seconds the best? Everything's popping. The truth is, if it's not popping, one of the first places I look is, am I really submitted? So I ask the Lord, am I not submitted to you somewhere? Have I missed something? It's not always an open door, and if you don't say something, then don't make one up. But you have to make sure, so everybody say, I'm submitted. Glory to God. So how many of you know we have authority? Just real quick, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he was seated far above every principality, power, might, dominion, every name given. But if you look over at Ephesians 2:6, it says you were raised up together to sit with him in heavenly places. So you're in a seat of authority. Spiritually speaking, you're in a seat of authority. Even from the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, even you got some angels in Psalms 8 talking about it. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him? How is it that you gave him dominion? Dominion over the works of your hand. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, God said, basically the earth, he made Adam and Eve the gods of this world until they sold it out and gave it to the devil, who is in 2 Corinthians 4:4, now known as the god of this world. But they were created in his likeness and image, and he gave them dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And I say it funny, but that if you don't understand that, the devil came in like a serpent, like a creep. He's a creeping thing. In other words, people ask all the time, why did the Lord put the devil there? Well, because Adam and Eve had dominion over him. They were supposed to rule and reign over him. One of the things, if you're going to keep your dominion over the enemy, is you can't be having a chat with him all the time. So this is another funny thing, since I've already taken way too much time, is my wife and I, when we first got married, man, we've been married 23 years now. And so when we first got married, you all know this, I started the church as a single man. So when we got married, Sundays weren't a problem, but there for a while on Wednesday nights, we were just fussing at one another. I don't know what she was doing wrong, but turn that microphone off, Abraham. And she said this, and it's in my book, but it was just, I believe, inspired of the Lord to save my behind. And so, but she said to me, she said, because how many know it's the truth that Adam was supposed to tend the garden? He wasn't doing what he's supposed to do, because the thing he was over, the creeping thing, the snake, got past him. He wasn't tending his garden. I don't know what he was doing, but he should have been tending the garden. And so Rhonda said to me, being real spiritual, she said, Adam, be careful what you let in our garden. And then the Holy Ghost helped me. I really believe he did. And we're still talking about 23 years later. So it's, you know, like, so it must have been. But anyway, I said to her, I said, well, Eve, if I let a snake go by, just don't talk to it. How many of you know the truth of the matter is that the devil is looking to talk to you? And he does that through speaking to your mind, giving you thoughts, pictures, bringing circumstances to you. What does that have to do with this? Well, if you've got to understand what's coming from the enemy and what's coming from God, because you don't know what to submit to and what to resist. But when you're submitted to God, submitted to each other, we're submitted to each other, and then she chooses to submit to me. Many of you, because I'm your pastor, you've chosen to submit to me, to us, and therefore that gives us some extra additional authority in your life to pray, to say, to guard over, to watch over, to use our faith for you because you've opened the door up and we're in a partnership, so to speak. But make no mistake about it, I have dominion because Jesus has dominion, because God has dominion, but you have dominion. And so you need to learn how to take that dominion. And the Lord is really emphasizing to me that in the season that we're coming into, you need to be quick to be able to take your dominion. You need to be quick to recognize the enemy talking. You need to be quick to recognize when a circumstance comes up and really just be able to speak the word to it in a moment of time and just immediately begin to deal with it and not let it get to be a big deal, but begin to speak the word and the word only at it. So we have to use our authority. So submit yourself therefore unto God and do what? Resist the devil. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And it talks about your equipment and your armor. But how many of you know you got to stand against the wiles of the devil? You got to stand against the fiery darts. You got to stand against the imaginations. You got to stand against the circumstances. And yes, you need to pray. And yes, you need to ask God to intervene. But at the same time, you need to do this. You need to do what Matthew 18 and 18 says. Whatever you bind on earth is already bound. In other words, if it's not allowed in heaven, don't allow it in your life. What it bind on earth, whatever is loosed in heaven, then you loose that in your life. We can look at heaven and see what, how many know God doesn't have two wills? Remember what Jesus prayed? He said, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants you to have heaven on earth in your life, in every area of your life. But you do have an enemy. And you and I have to make sure that we understand he's a defeated foe. Aren't you glad Jesus defeated him? Amen? So we're kind of more in an occupation army. When an uprising happens, we're just putting it down. Because we've already won the victory, amen? And so we resist and we're standing against and we're binding, loosing. And how many of you know that you've been given a name that's above every name? And at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee bows, every tongue of things in heaven. How many of you know all of heaven reverences that name? Under the earth, how many of you know the devils? They all know that Jesus is the king and they're defeated. But what has to happen is on the earth, you've got to enforce that victory. You've got to enforce it by using the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God. Are you grateful for the name of Jesus? And how else do you enforce it? How else do you enforce it? You use your word, the double-edged sword coming out of your mouth. Amen. When you see something that's contrary to the will of God, you've got to talk to it. There was a fig tree. Y'all remember it? Jesus walked by it. And he cursed it. What do I mean? He said this, no man shall eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And he took it and it didn't seem like anything happened. And they walked on. The next day, thank God, Peter noticed it. And he said, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed. In other words, it wasn't doing what it was supposed to. How many know Jesus ought to know what ought to be on there? He made it. He's the Word, and he made all things. And so Jesus said, well, don't try this at home. No, it's not what he said. He said, you too can do this. Have the God kind of faith. And you should say things. So I'm telling you, when something comes up, when you need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take it at it. You've heard me say this a lot, and I'm going to say it to you again as we close. Don't you ever let the devil or circumstances have the last word. You've got to answer it.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.